Cape Talk, health and wellness.
Health and wellness is often we look at birth control, and birth control is there to prevent pregnancy before it actually happens and before it begins. And there are lots of different methods and options that work well and are easy to use. Now, hormonal birth control, whether it comes in the forms of pills, injections, a ring, an intrauterine device, IUD, or an implant, are considered safe for most people, and growing numbers of women are currently using the progesterone-containing IUD, whether for contraception or for the management of heavy menstrual bleeding, because of the convenience of this particular device. If you're like many other women who are currently using this as a contraceptive method, or if you need one for years, if you used one for years in the past, and if you are worried, you should be listening to us right now, because we are going to be chatting to Dr. Justice Apfelstedt, a specialist surgeon with an interest in breast, thyroid, and parathyroid health, as well as soft tissue oncology, to help us debunk the myths around breast cancer and the IUD. Doctor, a very good afternoon to you and welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show, and good afternoon, listeners, above all.
Doctor, I think the very first question we should be asking, and we should be saying this up front, is the fact that there is no such thing as 100% risk-free contraceptive. Is that correct?
I think that's pretty much correct. And we should be aware that any kind of intervention in the hormonal environment of the human being will have some consequences.
The safety of using a long-term hormonal birth control depends on a number of factors. What are those factors, and how does one determine whether it is safe to use it?
This is determined by, number one, the dosages of the individual hormones, and also what these individual hormones are that are being used. And there seems to be, from my field of interest, which is breast cancer and not actually birth control, there seems to be a difference between natural progesterones and artificial progesterones. What we're seeing, however, is that, to come back to our topic here, that with the convenient progestogen releasing intrauterine contraceptive device, I mean, that's a mouthful, eh? there is an increased risk of breast cancer, actually quite significantly, which can be after long-term use, meaning the second and third device can be up to 70% increased, and that's quite significant.
Yeah. Does this study of yours find that there's a link between the hormone-releasing IUDs and breast cancer?
Yes. And it's not my study. It's population studies that were done in the Nordic countries, one in Denmark, one in Finland. And what was done here was have a look at all the women who had these devices implanted, how long they were implanted, and this was compared to women who did not have these devices implanted. And then the breast cancer incidence was compared, because the Nordic countries have got very good population registries for cancer and for all sorts of healthcare interventions. And from that, we know that the risk of breast cancer with these progestogen-releasing devices is actually much higher than that of the persons who used an alternative method of contraception or no contraception.
One of the questions coming in, Doctor, and we're having a chat this afternoon to specialist surgeon with an interest in cancer at the Apfelstedt and Associates, Dr. Justice Apfelstedt. One of the questions is that some couples do not want to use the IUD because they incorrectly believe that the IUD prevents pregnancy by causing abortions. Can you comment on that?
I would not want to venture into that, because contraception is not my field of interest, and I think that would be better answered by the couple's gynecologist.
Also, another question coming in. I have a progesterone-releasing intrauterine device, which is an IUD device. Should I panic? If not, why should I not panic?
Okay. I think one should look at it in perspective, and that's actually very important. Because breast cancer is only one aspect of an implantable intrauterine contraceptive device. There are other aspects too. For example, in the Finnish study, there was found that certain other cancers were decreased in incidence, like, for example, ovarian cancer and colon cancer. This is one thing one should take into account, and the other thing one should take into account is that the effect is very much time-dependent. How long is this device implanted? Now, there was no appreciable risk increase up to 5 years, which is the normal length of duration of hormone release in the first and most popular device. For the first 5 years, it seems to be safe. But as soon as you go for 10 or even 15 years or even longer, then you must take into account that your breast cancer risk will be increased and will be rather significantly increased. So I think what you must have a good conversation here with your gynecologist about is, number one, the risk of breast cancer, which for me is a high interest, because we're seeing an awful lot of women with breast cancer these days who have had these devices implanted. And you must also look at the other circumstances of that particular woman. For example, how long does she need this device? I mean, as I've mentioned earlier, up to 5 years seems to be safe. There must also, we should also not forget that these devices suppress menstruation, which is very convenient for women.
Yes.
And one should then come to a determination of which risks and which conveniences the woman prefers. So I think it's a very important conversation that has to be had. And in case, for example, somebody comes with a family history of breast cancer, or somebody has had a personal history of breast cancer, then I think one should say definitely not one of these devices here. And women who come without these risk factors, one can say up to 5 years, but not prolonged for something like 10, 15, 20 years.
Chatting this afternoon to Dr. Justice Apfelschetting, we're chatting about the link between IUD and breast cancer. Now, Doctor, there are numerous lifestyle changes that one can actually make to decrease the risk of developing breast cancer without changing your birth control. Could you perhaps elaborate on that and tell us what those factors are?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest factors that we see on a population basis is obesity. And to put things into perspective, 1 out of 10 women will get breast cancer in an urbanized environment in South Africa. That is pretty much sure. And the numbers that are being officially quoted of 1 in 28 is actually not correct. Number two that we must consider here, implantable device that releases progestogens will, for the first 5 years, not increase the breast cancer risk. For the years to 10 to 15 years, it can increase the risk up to about 70% additionally. That means where the normal woman has got a risk of 1 out of 10, then she would have a risk out of 1 in 6. 1 out of 6 to get breast cancer. And that's quite an appreciable increase.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking at the most common risk factor of obesity, that is in the same order of magnitude. So if a woman is obese, that means, and this is a very good way to put this, if she's gained 20 kilograms of weight in between age 20 and age 40, she will increase her breast cancer risk by about 50%. And we should ask ourselves whether this might not be a more important line of health policy intervention to try to reduce obesity in order
yeah.
Women to decrease their breast cancers. And this has also got other beneficial health effects, like, for example, decreasing diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and so forth and so forth.
Mm.
So it's not a unifactorial thing.
Mm. What is the effect, and can or can't the IUD cause infertility, ectopic pregnancy, or miscarriages? What is the sort of correctness around that? Does it or doesn't it do it?
Well, once again, I think this is a conversation that the individual woman should have with a gynecologist, and as far as I know, and I have limited expertise in this field, this is not the case.
Can you possibly tell us on the sort of use of genetic testing to create a custom breast cancer treatment plan?
Yes, we are moving now into established breast cancer, and we have these days, we have advanced molecular genetic diagnostics available, which tell us whether breast cancers are aggressive or not. This is, we've been utilizing this for the last, that is 13 years, since 2006, and we have, with the utilization of these predictive tests, we can actually save women chemotherapy, and that's the current main application for these tests, and that is very convenient. We have seen a decrease in chemotherapy use in our practice by about 50%, and that is a great deal and a great burden that is taken away from women with the help of these tests.
We have an SMS that's coming from Jane this afternoon. Doctor, if you have a Mirena IUD implanted for 15 years and then go through menopause, what is the risk of breast cancer in that incident?
That is a very long use of an implantable device and a hormone-releasing implantable device, and that risk will be increased. I have not yet got good figures on what the risk of breast cancer, how it behaves once these devices are being removed. And what we are thinking is happening, that the risk slowly decreases but never returns back to normal. Whereas for oral contraceptives that contain progestogen, we also know that the risk of breast cancer is increased, but that it returns to normal after about 5 to 10 years.
I think one of the big things that people are normally worried about when they consider implanting an IUD is the negative effect, or does it have any effect in terms of sexual pleasure between the two partners?
That is... I'm not aware of any study about that, so I cannot comment on that.
Yeah. I've had male partners and male counterparts complaining about the strings that will hurt, and is that just a myth?
No. I think that is an urban legend.
Yeah. Doctor, what is the steps when when you are thinking of actually having an IUD implanted and having a look at this going forward, what should you be looking out for, and what should you be the questions you should be asking your gynecologist?
I think the question you should ask your gynecologist is what is the result of this, or how safe is this device in with the prevention of pregnancy? And generally, these devices are very effective. I think they're the most effective because you can't forget them, like oral contraceptives. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. The second thing is that the question arises, what is my breast cancer risk? And every gynecologist should have basic understanding of how to assess breast cancer risk. And then the woman should question the duration of use. Like I say, 5 years seems to be safe, and I think this is good, well manageable. And beyond 5 years, there must be an estimation of the convenience and the beneficial effect of the intrauterine device versus the contraception. For example, let's say a woman has got very heavy menstrual periods and has got problems maintaining iron stores and becomes anemic, then one must weigh this up against the breast cancer risk. And mind you, risks of other cancers seem to be reduced with these devices. That must also be taken into account.
Speaking this afternoon, it sounds very, very complex, Doctor. Speaking this afternoon to Dr. Justice Apfelstedt, and he's a specialist surgeon with an interest in breast, thyroid, and parathyroid health, as well as soft tissue oncology. A question coming in off our WhatsApp line, and this question comes in and says, I was diagnosed with BC, which I presume would be breast cancer, 11 years ago, and subsequently been tested positive for BRCC2 gene. What is the chance of my two daughters carrying the gene, and at what age should I actually have them tested?
Okay. Breast cancer genes 1 and 2 are but two of about 19 genes that we are testing these days that give you an increased risk of breast cancer. The risk of suffering breast cancer with BRCA1 and 2 are actually quite high. They are in the region of somewhere between 60 and 90%. And the breast cancer risk arises at about, let's say, 20 to 25 years. So that means that children under the age of 18 can, for ethical reasons, not be tested. These children must be beyond 18 years of age because the disease risk arises only after that time. And at that age, they are able to make their own decisions concerning their health care. In general, the risk, because it is what we call an autosomal dominant genetic mutation, it means that each child, male or female, has got the chance of 1 out of 2 to inherit the same gene defect. We know that women have got a very high risk of breast cancer if they have inherited this mutation. And we also know that men, or boys in this case, also, if they inherit the mutation, have a high risk of cancers. In men, it's not primarily breast cancer, but aggressive and early prostate cancer, breast cancer, pancreatic cancer, stomach cancer, colon cancer, and so further. It's more diffuse than in women. And that's why these breast cancer genes were discovered first in women.
Dr. Justus Appelstadt, specialist surgeon with an interest in cancer at the Appelstadt and Associates. So thank you so much for your time this afternoon.